hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams, and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible. Real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth." Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Good evening to our listeners. This is Spirit 88.3 FM. The program is Issues of Life. We thank God for another Saturday. And Saturdays are very important because of this program. And as we share the Word of God and we share things pertaining to the times that we live in. And indeed, we are in very, very interesting times. And it's very unfortunate that the body of Christ seems not to see it mostly. Indeed, the news and things happening around us are enough to wake up anyone who is really, really serious in the Lord. And it's very, very important that we get these things sorted out, because the times that we live in, we can't just go on the normal way of doing things, the normal, lukewarm, anything goes type of Christianity. And end time is indeed upon us. I mean, believe it or not, these are the times that we really, really have been talking about, the end times, for years. Previous generations have talked about and didn't see it. You know, I like it the way one man of God put it some time back, that definitely and certainly there should be a generation that will see the times of the end and the signs that the Bible talked about and all that. There certainly has to be a particular generation that will see it. And if that generation is seeing these things like ours is seeing, then clearly we shouldn't run away from the facts. And a lot is happening, a lot. I mean, and this is the time to understand what is happening in the world, because if we don't understand what is happening in the world, then we can miss it. I've been saying it time and time over this on this program, that the greatest mistake a Christian can make is not to be able to miss the season, the spiritual season, when it changes. Not being able to identify the spiritual seasons when they change. And that's a very serious thing, because you will think you are operating in the normal season and you did not knowing the season is in a different level altogether. And you see, every season demands and requires a different approach. Every season requires a different set of lifestyles and spiritual preparation, prayer, our lives, I mean, the things we do, what we have to do. You know, you just don't, just like in school, what is taught in class one and how things are done in class one is far higher, different than what they do in nursery or in KG. You see, so as the seasons change, as you go higher, and times change. Certainly, it also requires a new approach to things. So if you miss the changes happening in the spiritual realm, then obviously you'll be operating in the old system while there's a new season and you are not aware of. The world as we know it has changed. I mean, if I keep saying it, if you think we'll go back to the old world before COVID, I'm really sorry, we are not. This world has changed forever. It's not going back. And you have to accept that reality. The new world system, the new world order, the great reset is indeed in motion, fully in motion. Unfortunately, a lot of people are still not able to grasp the changes that are happening in the world. And people just think, oh, it's just a virus that's happening, just a virus that's worrying the world. It's far more than... If you see COVID as just the virus issue, then it's unfortunate, but you will miss a whole lot regarding the seasons, the season that we are in, because I've read things on this program, the statements made by the World Economic Forum president, Professor Schwab, and a whole lot of other top dignitaries regarding COVID and how and why they would take advantage of it to reset the world as they claim it. I mean, as if they own the world, they have created the world before and they want to reset it. And indeed, that's exactly what they are doing, using the COVID just as a cover-up to achieve the One World Agenda and underway the Great Reset as it is. And if you miss these cardinal things happening in the world now, then anything that is associated with their deception, you will fall for it. Because, I mean, you will think it's normal, so what's the big deal? And that's exactly the mistake a lot of Christians are making. I mean, it's very unfortunate that you even have pastors, I mean, falling for this, because, you know, I can tell you for a fact, if you talk to 100 pastors today, what is the Great Reset? What is the agenda of the Great Reset? What are they seeking to achieve? What are they doing? What do they intend to do? I mean, you may not get more than 2 pastors out of 100 who know the doings of and the aims and the what this whole thing is about. It's very unfortunate, but that's the reality. You see, so because a lot of people are not aware of the globalist agenda, it's unfolding right before our eyes, and yet still people think, what's the big deal? This is nothing. And that's it. I mean, the devil's best strategy is when people don't know what he is about. In that case, when he's deceiving you, it is without any opposition, it's without any resistance. Because, I mean, if you know what he's doing, then you can resist. But if you don't know what he's doing, then that one, the easy way, I mean, and that's exactly the state of the world we find ourselves in now. And for believers, we have to understand the season we are in. Indeed, one of the cardinal things that is going to happen, I remember beginning of the year, I think whether the 1st or the 2nd January or so, one of the days when I was walking along the beaches, one of the beaches in Accra, normally I go to those places most when I'm in Accra sometimes, and the Holy Spirit told me clearly that this year, one thing that would start happening is separation of, you know, relationships, friendships, even families, couples, husband, children, wife, spouse, wife, and all, you know, breakages, separation in terms of people taking a position in their faith and their beliefs and misunderstandings and all those things. So last week, the last message that I read on the program of a mother asking the daughter to refund the fees if she's not going to take the vaccine is just a classic example of what is coming, where we are going to have disagreements, husband, wife, children, parents, children, siblings, brother, sister, brother. This is the reality of the new world we are in. And, I mean, people just have to brace themselves for these misunderstandings. And indeed, it's not going to be an easy time for the Christians who stand their ground, because the persecution is coming. I mean, we've talked about persecution coming for a long time on this program. And it's indeed coming from an angle people did not think it's going to be. It's coming. I mean, people are going to be persecuted just because of these vaccine programs, I mean, they will not take it. People are going to lose their jobs because of this. People are going to be evicted from their homes by their landlords because of this. Students are going to have to leave schools because of this. It's going to happen. I mean, you mark it somewhere. Today is what, whatever date it is. I said it on this program. It is going to happen as well. I mean, I've been seeing a lot of things and in the last few months regarding the things happening, and it's unfolding one after the other. And these are the realities of the times, the changes that we are to experience. And for those who are aware of these things coming, it's much easier for you to adjust. But if you are not aware and you start experiencing these things, that is when it can really go against you. But, well, this is the new world we are in, and the new world comes with new set of challenges. So, dear Christian, who is standing your ground, this is a new season. Be prepared for what is coming and what is ahead. And these are the times to get stronger in the world. All right. I'm Eben. The program is Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. I'll be back after this song, and then I'll get into the news. This is one old Hosanna music song, but the Holy Spirit just laid it on my heart this evening to play this one. I mean, I've been enjoying it this evening while I was coming here.
Chosen generation, a mighty force in the land. All of creation now is waiting to see the righteous take their stand, moving out in His anointing.
Song indeed. The Spirit says, arise. The voice of God almighty warrior declaring war. Hear his command. You are a chosen generation, a mighty force in the land. All of creation now is waiting to see the righteous take their stand, moving out in his anointing, fulfilling God's eternal plan. Arise, this is the final hour. Arise, you soldiers of the king, arise. Put on your holy armor. No, the gates of hell will not prevail. So arise, the Spirit says, arise. The army of God is now assembled, a people filled with power and might. The time is now, no hesitation. Take up your swords, stand up and fight. You know, these are the realities of the times we live in. Indeed, 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 the final hour is here. As Christians, we have to understand these things and arise onto what we have to do. I mean, for the last few weeks, we've been talking about the coming revival, end time revival, the great awakening, as some also call it. And I believe a lot of people are being blessed by this and being challenged. Indeed, if there was ever a generation that should seek revival, it is ours, because evil indeed has risen to levels which are seriously, seriously high. And revival comes with salvation to the lost, and we need revival a lot. We need it more than ever before. The church should be craving for it. Christian leaders should be craving for revival, and unfortunately that's not what we are seeing. But nonetheless, I mean, the fact that people are not seeking for revival does not mean you should not seek for it, and you should not pray for it, and you should not wish for it. And that's the sense of this program, this series that we are talking about, the coming revival. All right, so let me get into some of the news that has been the course of the week. These days, it's quite difficult picking up the news because sometimes you just don't know what to pick and what to leave out. It's just a lot. All right, this one says 2021 on track to become record-breaking year of major earthquakes and volcanoes. Though the past year has been replete with troubling news items that include pandemic and hotly contested U.S. elections, the earth shaking beneath our feet seems to have gone unnoticed. In the first 65 days of this year, 42 major earthquakes, magnitude 6 or higher, have shaken the planet. And, you know, it goes on to talk about the fact that, in addition, authorities are warning that two volcanoes in a densely populated region of the country could erupt at literally any moment. The number of earthquakes is increasing. In the first 65 days of 1921, exactly 100 years ago, only 7 major earthquakes, magnitude 6 or higher, were recorded globally, according to US Genius database. So imagine a span of 100 years. In 1921, for the first 65 days of the year, there were only 7 major earthquakes. Now, 100 years later, in 2021, first 65 days of the year, there are 42 earthquakes. Well, your guess is as good as mine. This is exactly what Jesus talked about, that there will be earthquakes in diverse places. And indeed, the statistics prove the fact that earthquakes have been on the ascendancy in recent times. Not only ascendancy, the magnitude in terms of the timelines and all, I mean, a whole lot happening. Mount Etna continues explosive eruptions, sending ash to rain on towns. The volcanoes too, quite a number, also shaking in some places. I think one report I saw had about 40 or so volcanoes worldwide are at various levels of attempting to explode, or some already sending ash into the atmosphere and all that. All right, let's go to Israel, where we have Israel strikes over a dozen Iranian vessels bound for Syria. And Israel has targeted at least a dozen vessels bound for Syria and mostly carrying Iranian oil out of concern that petroleum profits are funding extremism in the Middle East. U.S. and regional officials say in a new front in the conflict between Israel and Iran. Since the late 2019, Israel has used weaponry, including water mines, to strike Iranian vessels or those carrying Iranian cargo as they navigate through towards Syria in the Red Sea and in other areas of the region. Iran has continued its oil trade with Syria, shipping millions of barrels and contravening U.S. sanctions against Iran and international sanctions against Syria. Some of the naval attacks also have targeted Iranian efforts to move other cargo, including weaponry, through the region, according to U.S. officials. On and on, because in the last few weeks, 2 weeks or so ago, an Israeli ship was also attacked mysteriously, and Israel blamed it on Iran. And Israel too has been retaliating and whatever. And this whole Middle East place is really sitting on a time bomb. I mean, for anyone who has been following the geopolitics there, especially since the U.S. President Joe Biden came in, the things are really not going too well down there in the Middle East. And it can be a bit explosive if care is not taken. Then to China. China rolls out COVID-19 pass for international travel as global debate over a common health passport heats up. Beijing has launched a certificate that verifies COVID-19 status for citizens traveling abroad. The initiative comes amid a raging debate about the global adoption of a health passport. An image of the document shared online shows that it contains passport information as well as COVID-19 test results and vaccination details. The certificate will be available in digital and paper form. China's Ministry of Foreign Affairs said on Monday that the world economy is in urgent need of recovery and suggested that the ID would help facilitate the resumption of international travel. Beijing also signaled that it was open to the idea of adopting, listen well, a globally recognized document that shows COVID-19 test results and vaccination status. Globally recognized. Underline globally. Okay, then quote, China is willing to discuss with other countries the establishment of a mutual recognition mechanism, unquote, about the virus to, quote, actually promote the construction of healthy, safe, and orderly personnel exchanges, unquote, Foreign Ministry spokesman Zhao Lijian said. It's not yet clear which, if any, countries have agreed to recognize the Chinese certificate. It's also unknown if Beijing will relax quarantine restrictions for those who have the new ID. Several countries have already eyed similar COVID-19 certificates, both for domestic purposes and international travel, including Ghana, of course. Ghana is also working on their COVID passports feverishly. The app is being worked on now as I talk. The European Union is planning on introducing a passport called Digital Green Pass that would allow vaccinated individuals to travel freely within the bloc. The UK has also signaled that it is looking to create a health ID. Former Prime Minister Tony Blair has been a vocal promoter of the scheme, arguing that the creation of digital documents showing COVID-19 status was inevitable, underline, and that it would help lift restrictions on the movement. Petition calling for UK to reject the idea of issuing COVID-19 passports has generated more than 270,000 signatures. Critics say that such passports would be discriminatory, an invasion of privacy, and ineffective at controlling the disease. Well, who said they want to control the disease? It's something else that this whole thing is being used to achieve identification and conformity into the system. Currently, there have been no tests conducted to show that the COVID-19 vaccine slow or stop transmission of the virus. Interesting. Despite public misgivings, several airlines have expressed support for a global health ID. Singapore Airlines announced on Monday that its flights to London will begin using a mobile app that verifies passengers' COVID-19 status as part of a pilot program that could potentially see global adoption. Underline, global adoption. Okay. The WHO, that's the World Health Organization, advises against mandating vaccine for international travel for now. I like the way they said it, for now. That means a time will come when it will be. A senior World Health Organization official said Monday that so-called vaccine passports for COVID-19 should not be used for international travel at this time because of numerous concerns, including ethical considerations that the coronavirus are not easily available, the vaccines are not easily available globally. At a press briefing, WHO Emergency Chief Dr. Michael Ryan said there are real practical and ethical considerations for countries considering using vaccine certification as a condition for travel, adding the UN Health Agency advises against it for now. For now. Quote, vaccination is just not available enough around the world and is not available certainly on an equitable basis, Ryan said. WHO has previously noted that it is unknown how long, listen to this part, very, very interesting. The WHO has previously noted that it is still unknown how long immunity lasts from the numerous licensed COVID-19 vaccines and that data are still being gathered. Underline, data are still being gathered. Okay? This is WHO. the issue is, it's as simple as that. They don't even know the effectiveness of this thing, how long the immunity would even last. I mean, you should see the video of WHO at a press conference, one of the press conferences where they are one of their top doctors, answering questions. I don't know. That's the reality on the ground. But you see, a different picture is being painted to people around the world as though a magic wand has arrived and all is well. But the truth is, the statements they make itself clarifies that they don't even know how long this whole thing is lasting, even how the thing is working, they don't even know. But well, they just mention some efficacy percentages and it's like, well, it's effective this way and all. But behind the scenes, things are not too well. Okay? And then, so this is it. The WHO says they should not make it by force for now. They should hold on so that people can still travel because, and seriously, if you don't, you're in a country where you've not received the vaccines, that means people should not travel. We have to be real about some of these things. But for now, I like the way they put it, for now. A time will come when it will be available everywhere. So then, at that moment, there will be no excuse. All right. France warns it could make COVID vaccines compulsory for health workers amid unacceptable uptake. The French government has said that the level of COVID-19 vaccine uptake among those working in the healthcare setting is not acceptable. And said it could make the jab compulsory if vaccination rates don't improve. Now, we say by force. They say they don't like it. Eh? What is this? For the last year, our health workers have been heroic, but vaccination rate among them today is not acceptable. Gabriel Attal, the government spokesman, told Le Parisien newspaper on Sunday, echoing the words of the health minister, Olivier Véran, last week. Attal said getting the jab was the responsible thing for healthcare workers to do. Quote, it would be irresponsible to refuse to be vaccinated when one is a health worker. Everyone is rolling up their sleeves to get us out of this pandemic. Now they have to roll them up to the shoulder to get vaccinated, Attal said. Attal added that the government would continue to encourage those working in healthcare settings to come forward and get the jab, but if that didn't work, making it obligatory remains a possibility. Last week, Prime Minister Jean Castex revealed that only 40% of health workers had been inoculated against the COVID-19 in France. That's quite a staggering number. 60% not taking it. you know, when you see some things and you see some data and you see some reports, I mean, you have to advise yourself. I mean, you see, that's the reality on the ground. But if you follow the politicians and you follow your church leaders, you may run into a ditch. Episcopal school defends language policy, telling students to stop saying mom and dad after backlash. And this is so serious. A prominent Episcopal school, which is supposed to be a Christian school, in New York City, is standing by its decision to publish an inclusive language guide after the document received criticism for, among other things, encouraging students to refrain from using terms such as mom and dad. Hey, the Grace Church School, a private Manhattan Episcopal school, says 770 students in junior kindergarten to grade 12. They published an inclusive language guide to address ways we can remove harmful assumptions from the way we interact with each other. The 12-page guide suggests students and teachers use alternatives to gender-specific words and phrases, as well as other terms it sees as problematic. The guide prompted considerable backlash, causing the head of the school, George Davison, to issue a statement. Quote, "Policing language demonstrates more concern for getting a community to use the right words than for cultivating a sense of belonging for its members," unquote, George said in part. That is why our inclusive language guide does not ban any words. So why even suggest it in the first place? After defending the guide as necessary instrument to give us all words that will bring people together. Hey. So for those who have been using mom and dad all these centuries, it didn't bring us together as human beings. Oh, what a generation. What a generation. Hey. Davison indicated that Grace Church School, which has a tuition rate of more than $57,000 per year, has no intention of abandoning it. So, if the boorish and cancel culture press wants to condemn us, a newly dubbed woke, whatever, school of politeness, dignity, and respect, then I embrace it, and I hope you will too, he asserted. The guide begins with a push to encourage students to use gender-inclusive language to provide critical affirmation to students across the gender spectrum. It asks students and staff to refrain from using terms such as boys and girls, guys, ladies and gentlemen, and instead use gender-neutral terms such as people, folks, friends, readers, and mathematicians. Hey, you know, it's like there's a massive groundswell against boy, girl, man, woman, male, female. It's like they just want to dilute the whole thing. This LGBT absurdity is taking over. And it's like now what is right is being seen as abnormal. For all these centuries, 18th century, 17th century, all these years, no one has complained except this current generation that thinks is the wisest in all. So has a reason to change everything, cancel everything, attack anything that just doesn't fit the way they think it should be. If someone says a boy can't marry a boy or a girl can't marry a girl, students are advised to respond by saying people can love and commit to whomever they please. It's their choice who they marry. I mean, look at this. But it's true. Boy can't marry a boy. I mean, that's the reality. Students are being taught to reject the belief that sexual orientation is a choice rather than an identity, and to affirm who we love or are attracted to as part of who we are. Oh, this generation. And that's it. I mean, this is from the Christian Post. And the New York is also coming up with this other one too, where a New York bill could force schools to teach sex education to kindergartners. Kindergarten. Sex education to kindergarten. I mean, is it no madness? Gender identity to say, I mean, grade 2. I mean, why on earth would you want to teach a KG child anything about, I mean, sex education? For what? You see, but the agenda is simple. Confuse them at that early age. This LGBT thing, transgender. Now they are even more particular about the transgender than even the L and the G people. The transgender absurdity. Boy change to girl, girl change to boy. And this week I saw one collection of images of celebrities whose children, so it's like boys are being dressed as girls. And it's so pathetic. You see 6, 7, 8 year old boys who are, they've been dressed as girls. So their parents see, I mean, so they are now girls, acting as girls, walking like girls, are behaving like girls. I mean, and you see, it is serious abuse of the child. Because a child that has been born as a boy, naturally is a boy. Of course, if I remember some time back, one parent was saying that the child will put the leg in the sister's shoe or the mother's shoe, so that means he wants to be a girl. But I mean, who didn't do this in a childhood where you go and put your legs in your sister's shoe or your mother's shoe? No, what's the big deal? Does that mean because you do that or you did that, then that means you should change from being a boy to a girl? Oh, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. And this is the generation we find ourselves in. And this is, it's even getting more serious because in the US, this Equity Act is even going to bind the system to it. So that law is even going to make it more difficult for Christians to even talk about or against these things. And, you know, when they see it as wrong, they see it as okay and acceptable, then now they put the pressure on us in other countries like in Ghana, and we'll start demanding that we should also be like them. I mean, if you have lost it, why should we also lose it? But, you know, that's where the world is headed. And it doesn't get any better because the White House itself is confused. The next news item. White House says they are open to adding a third gender option to federal ID cards. I mean, can you imagine this? So, male, female, other, X. I mean, you know, sometimes I was filling a form online, I've forgotten which one, and male, female, then other states. What, I should state what? I mean, male, female, what is there to state again? But that's the world we are in. Other states, your whichever preference. So you can state whatever. Well, whether you feel like you're a monkey or whatever, well, now it's like whatever you feel like, just feel free to express yourself. I mean, someone said jokingly that, well, I mean, then you can also just say that you feel like being the president of a country, so they should make you the president. Now, if you just walk by our feelings, as you feel like it should be accepted, then, I mean, I'll just, okay, I feel like becoming the bank manager. Oh, I'm the bank manager, so make me a bank manager of Bank of America or Citibank, because I feel like I'm the bank manager. You see, but when you take the arguments along that line, they will say, no, it doesn't apply that way. You see, and oh, come on, there's something wrong with this generation. You know, the truth of the matter is, if you really follow the trend of how society is getting off in terms of morality and behavior and lifestyle and all, clearly there's a big difference between this current generation and previous generations. And we are not even going too far. Just a few years ago, 10 years, 20 years ago, things were completely different from, because the things which are now being seen as okay by the so-called woke generation or woke culture or whatever, they were frowned on 20 years ago. 30 years ago, God, it was, a few years ago, I mean, these things were an abomination in the normal life setting. But fast forward to 2021, these things have become a standard, and rather you, the one who talks against it, become the enemy. And churches are falling into it, pastors are accepting it. I mean, it's ridiculous. Everything is being attacked. I mean, now, for those who follow some of these foreign news, and you realize they are attacking cartoons of which have nothing to do with anything. I mean, but to them, this cartoon is this, then, okay, it should be canceled. This toy is this, it should be canceled. This book is this. But when it's about them, it's okay. But and Amazon has, I mean, they are canceling a lot of the books which are against transphobic and all from the Amazon store. And someone wrote that, well, it's just a matter of time. The next will be the Bible. Oh, yeah, the next will be the Bible. Then I would not be surprised if one day Amazon says that they are not selling the Bible again. Oh, yeah, because the Bible speaks against LGBT lifestyles and all that. Because their position now is any book that attacks the LGBT plus K or whatever, I mean, they are not going to sell it or they have a problem with it. And of course, then someone can just report the Bible as, well, this book is also offending me. And that's where the issue. Now, you just say that this thing is offending me and the system will take it out for you. So I'm offended by the way you are looking at me. You are being discriminatory. You are being homophobic. I'm a boy and I think I'm a girl. So the way you are looking at me means you are homophobic. And that alone can put you in trouble in some places. I mean, my name is Eben. I changed my name to Eben Wa or whatever. And you call me Eben because you know me as Eben. And I get offended. Why did you call me that? I can report you. I mean, you are being intentionally misgendering. Now a new a word for it. Misgender. Misgendering me. Because my gender is supposed to be a woman now. And you still insist that I'm a man. So you called me Eben instead of Eben Wa. I mean, this is the absurdity of the world we find ourselves in. And as Christians, we should begin to see these things from the broader picture of the times the Bible talked about, where the generation preceding the coming of Christ gets into this. I mean, you read Romans chapter 1, you read 2 Timothy chapter 3, and it lists a whole lot of things, how the society will be like. And we are seeing all of them. I mean, if you go through word by word, and it's even, there's a book I'm reading, and if you even read, you do a study of even the Greek words, it's even far more serious. It's even far more serious. The English words actually tones down a bit some of the descriptions. But the Greek word even, and so you realize, indeed, what is in 2 Timothy 3 is even far serious. It gives a vivid description of the lifestyle of the society in the end time. And we are seeing exactly that. We are seeing exactly that. Okay, the program is Issues of Life. I'll be back after this song.
Sing it with all of your heart, Lord. Prepare me. Oh! Something to be thankful for. You can look back over your shoulder and see where God brought you from and say, Lord, you've been good to me. This is what you ought to do.
Double sixes. Can't hit me now.
Let's see. Oops. Snake eyes. I get to go backwards. Hitting you.
Hey, you can't go backwards and backgammon.
Sure you can. It's in the rules. If a player rolls snake
Let
eyes.
Let me see. You wrote that in there.
So it's still in the rule book.
Rules. They provide standards for people to live by.
Oh, yeah? Well, if I roll a 4, I get to knock your pieces on the floor.
There are standards God wrote for us in the Bible.
Oh, yeah? And if I roll a 5, I get to kick you in the foot.
Ow! Okay, I get to hit you on the head.
Wait.
What?
You didn't roll the dice yet.
Oh, yeah. 9! Ow!
As we walk away from God's standards and create our own rules, we create confusion.
Ow!
Seven!
If things aren't working out for you in your life, give the Bible a chance.
Let's play something less violent.
Hockey?
My rules.
Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com. In the movies, what's going to happen next is often revealed by the background music.
Hey, Bob, the boss wants to see you.
Really? Do you think it's about my raise?
Sure.
All right. Wish me luck.
Dibs on his chair.
Wouldn't it be nice if in our lives we could have the same kind of warning?
Sir, the painters are here to remove their paint stains from last week.
Great. Think they'll ruin anything else this time?
Probably.
We don't know what will happen to us next, but Jesus does, and he wants us to trust him with our future.
I'll be down in a bit. I'm going to take a shower. You know, on second thought, I don't smell that bad.
Have you trusted Jesus with your future? The time to decide is now. Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.
Sorry, Frank.
All right. Welcome back. Spirit 88.3 FM, Issues of Life is the program. Eben, off air, I was having a chat with MBY in the studio, and he was talking about this queer thing, the queer people, and I've seen it before, and it's serious. The persons, or they feel like they are dogs. So they've dressed like dogs, crawling on all fours, and chains on their necks, barking like dogs, because they feel they are dogs. And that's it. That's what I was talking about. Feel like. So whatever you feel like, just express it freely. And that's the free world, as they say it.
Indeed.
This generation, if it tarries much longer, then I wonder how things are going to turn out, because what is even unfolding right in our eyes in front of us now is something else. And for Ghana, fortunately, we are not seeing anything. We are not seeing anything here at all. No. I mean, it's outside that you see things. And but gradually, if our system is getting morally bankrupted in terms of copying foreign lifestyles through the movies, through the music, you know, travel, people go, come. And so our system is also degenerating little by little. Yes, it's just a matter of time. Our system is also going downwards. Morally, we are not on a higher pedestal per se compared to the West. We are also going down. We are also sinking. And this is the reason why we need a revival in the land. We need revival in our communities. We need revival in our homes. And we've been talking about this for the last 3 weeks. This friend of mine in Accra, Pastor Roger, and I believe this evening he's joining us by phone again. And let me read this before he comes on. Joel 2:28. And it says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days will I pour out my spirit." For some, this happened in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples and Paul preached and 3,000 got saved and all that. If really this verse was only for that, then it wasn't enough, because a whole lot even happened afterwards. And so that shows that it wasn't only for Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 was the beginning of what was going to happen. And because other revivals have happened in, we made reference to the Welsh revival. You can check out the Azusa Streets, you know, Welsh revival, where you had football stadiums being empty because the football players are all going to revival meetings. Politicians are not going to parliament because they are all going to revival meetings. You know, can you just imagine that our parliament, I mean, 275 MPs, you go to parliament and speaker is not there. Parliament is empty. And where are they? They are at various places, prayer meetings, speaking in tongues all over the place. Parliament is empty. They open the Baba Yara Stadium, no one goes. Even the footballers themselves are absent. No training. They are at prayer meetings, revivals, falling down under the spirit. You know, this has happened in Wales before, 1904, 1905. And it doesn't mean it's limited to only that time. It can't happen again. And the word of God is clear about it. It's going to happen before Christ comes. There's going to be a great awakening. You know, if God is not going to give a chance for more souls to come into the kingdom before he comes, then very few are going to be saved. Then very, very, very few. Because the church itself is not even ready for his coming. I mean, largely speaking, let's be frank with ourselves. The church, the body of Christ itself, is not even ready for his coming. But the great awakening indeed is to revive the church, reawaken the church, as well as bringing more souls. But in the midst of this, this is where we can easily miss out on the move of God, because I remember one man of God, the Lord gave a message on a vision on this, that whether you believe it or not, it's going to happen. But you being part of it is a matter of choice. You see, so as for the revival, it's going to come. But your house can be missing out of it. You can be missing out of it. Your church can be missing out of it because you didn't accept it. You are not ready for it. So it's a matter of you being available, you believing and you being available, you start making yourself prepared, praying towards it, praying for it to be part of such a move that God is going to bring upon the world before he comes. And how sad it will be that when it matters most, that the glory of God is really manifesting in the last days before he comes, Christians will be found missing. And the amazing thing that is going to happen, one thing that is going to happen is, you see, when Jesus says the first shall be the last and the last shall be the first, this is one of the places where that is going to happen. People who have been in Christ for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, MBA, Mbahache type of, I've been a pastor for 40 years, ministering or SU from SU, give you a whole CV of ministerial, whatever. And when the time that rather the finishing line is approaching, some will leave the faith. Some will go lukewarm. Some will not be available because they will think, oh, this is not real, this is not going to happen. And the people who are going to be used are the youth, the children, you see, the handmaidens, people without any spiritual qualifications, as you call it. They've not gone to any Bible school. They are not even educated. But the Holy Spirit is going to be using them. You know, there's a church somewhere in Ghana some years back. The youth in the church decided to pray consistently for a revival in the church. Indeed, God started moving to the point where when people are sick, people even pass in front of the church, they get healed. Not knowing, the pastor's wife wasn't happy about it. So eventually, hey, this world. Woman power influenced the husband and they stopped the prayer meetings. And indeed, the fire was quenched in that church. See, just to let you know that when we pray, God will move. You see, the issue about the state of the church is our fault. If there is no power, you know, this week the Holy Spirit has been something which I have not really analyzed it in so much often, but it has been how many churches allow him to operate freely in these times we are in. How many churches? How many churches? Listeners, I mean, you attest to it. How many churches will you go to today that the Holy Spirit is allowed to flow and move? Word of prophecy, word of knowledge, I mean, manifesting. How many? You see, because we've silenced him largely in most churches. We've silenced him. So the flow is not being, we are not allowing him to flow in our churches largely because leadership are not allowing it to happen in most cases. This is the danger for pastors and church leaders because he would remove them and bring those who would allow the flow to happen. So this is where pastors have to be careful, leaders have to be careful, because the wind is like when a storm is coming. You can't say that you are stopping a tsunami or you are stopping a hurricane or a tornado from moving. If you say you are a champion and you can stand and stop a wind, strong hurricane wind from blowing, it will blow you away. It will blow anyway, but you will be blown away. So this is where we have to now retune our minds to understand that either we join the move of God, or that means we are resisting his move. And I don't think it's a wise thing to do to resist the move of God. It's very dangerous to resist the move of God and to resist his operation even in the church. I mean, God is not happy with a lot of churches. God is not happy with a whole lot of what is happening in our body churches today, because he's being silenced. And that's it. I mean, I know a church where, for instance, they were issued that notice was that, I mean, if you have word of prophecy, you should write it and then bring it to leadership so they will read. And so, you know, it's like controlling when Holy Spirit can even talk to in the church. I believe Pastor Roger will be joining us soon as we continue from there. In the meantime, let me quickly get back to this song.
Of God, Almighty Warrior, declaring all his command. You are a chosen generation, a mighty force in the land.
Hello, good evening.
Hello, good evening.
This is Pastor Roger on the line. Welcome to Issues of Life, Kumasi Spirit FM 88.3.
Good evening to your cherished listeners. Tonight we are continuing with our revival series. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 27 says that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish.
Wow.
I will repeat it. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 27. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The first question I want us to ask ourselves is that, has this been achieved?
That's a big question.
Is the church ready? Are we ready to go? This is what Jesus says. A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Tonight, I want us to gradually go through our scriptures and pick out certain things that will help us retune and reset ourselves to know that the revival must happen, and that is our only chance for us to be ready. We are not looking at a revival that reaches out not only to the doctors and the lawyers, but also we are looking at a revival that goes down into the gutters among the alcoholics, the drunkards, the prostitutes, and the street people. You earlier on gave reference that we have had several revivals, but we are looking at having a main revival. I always ask myself this question. When the outpourings were happening, the world had only a few population. Now that we are hitting about 7 billion.
More than seven. Yeah.
Is God going to sit down for the harvest to be lost? It is not possible. But there is something we have to look at. I want to start it this way. Exodus chapter 23, verse 14. Bible says, three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Verse 15, thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. The feast of unleavened bread is the Passover. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee, in the time appointed of the month Abib. For in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. Verse 16. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits, this is talking about Pentecost, of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, And the third one is, and the feast of ingatherings, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. So one, there is a sowing in the field, and one, there is a gathering of thy labor out of the field. Verse 17. Three times in a year, all thy males shall appear before the Lord God. In Exodus 23, we have seen the three times. How many times? Twice. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16. This is what the Bible says. Three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God, in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Then this same thing is explained in Leviticus 23. So in Leviticus 23, Israel was commanded to keep three major feasts. One thing we have to note is that all of Israel's worship, right from the wilderness to now, and spiritual observance, is centered around this feast. Number two, these feasts were fulfilled in the life and ministry of Jesus. And so if you and me are followers of Jesus, we also need to experience this. Then number three, these feasts are also a profound prophetic statement to this generation, the end time church. They contain prophetic insights of what God has reserved for this generation. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, will say, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. I repeat, neither have it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Verse 10 says, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Amen. So many things have been reserved for this generation. And it is our duty to search for it. And I'll give this example. When we are looking at, or when we look at the computer generations, we see that the computer, or when computer started, it was more limited.
Hello? Hello? I think his line went off.
Why is that online?
Anyway, this is Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. Okay. I'm sure he will reach out again. All right, this is Eben. We are having a discussion on the coming revival. We've been treating this for the last 3 weeks, and this is the fourth week we are on this topic. And I've been having this with Pastor Roger Akwa. Okay, he's on the line again. Hello, Roger, you are back online. Yeah.
Yeah, we are back online. I was saying that so many things have been reserved for this generation, and it is our duty to search for it. Then I was giving this example. When it comes to computers, we had the first generation computer that was built in the 1940s, which used vacuum tubes. We did not limit ourselves to that one. Then came the second generation computers. Think that one is about the 1950s, which used transistors. Also, man continued to what? Invent or continued to search for new things. Then the third one came in the late 60s, which used integrated circuits. Then, from the late 70s to 2010, the computers were using hardware microprocessors. Mm-hmm. Where we all thought that, we have arrived. Was that also?
Yeah.
But you remember the Y2K?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Year 2000. When we said everything will reset and we can. It cannot fly in the rest, so man had to continue. And today, we are in the what, fifth generation, mm-hmm. using artificial intelligence. Even a mobile phone today, initially when we were using Nokia 3310,
yeah,
but that was the best we could have.
Yeah,
but now. We are having mobile phones that have processors which are even faster than what laptops and the rest.
Oh yeah.
But is that also?
Oh yeah. It's true.
However, it is unfortunate that the body of Christ can accept a doctrine that is never found in church history until the year 1830.
Mm-hmm.
And this doctrine arose out of the teachings of a single woman from Holland, from Scotland, who is said to have had dreams and visions regarding this doctrine. Her name was Margaret MacDonald. She propounded the pre-trib doctrine.
Yeah.
Why did I bring this in? Because we realize that the body of Christ and by extension the church have been stuck to this.
Mm-hmm.
None of us want to go outside. And initially, it did not look like the doctrine was harmful.
Oh, yeah.
But today,
we are seeing it.
We are seeing it. Where denominations can accept something and say, and we not even say we pray, but we say the doctrine, we will go before certain things happen.
Yeah.
So we are realizing that gradually the doctrine is now being put in front of everything we do.
Yeah.
But that was not the case when we talked about this first generation, second generation, third generation computers. So it means that we have to enter into greater revelation and truth in the doctrine of Christ.
Yeah.
That is why today I want us to go through this life. Three times we read talks about Passover, Pentecost, and then Tabernacles, And tonight, we will pick it one by one. Wherever we get to, and we have no time, we'll continue the next time.
Yeah.
So tonight, let us start with Passover. Genesis chapter 15, 13 and 16. This is what God said. And he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. At this time, when God spoke to Abraham, he had not even changed his name to Abraham. But the Lord was telling him of something that will happen years to come. He will not even be privy to it. Abraham will hear, but he will not understand. It is only those who walk with it that will understand it. So when the fulfilled, this scripture was fulfilled in Egypt when the Lord brought Israel out from the hands of the Egyptian. So in fact, this scripture brings us an understanding that Passover was even pre-planned. Abraham heard about Passover, but he never knew that something was there. But it is only the Egyptians and the Israelites who were present during those times who will understand what Passover really means. Mm-hmm. The Passover was finally fulfilled by Christ Jesus' death on the cross. Matthew 26 verse 2 says, ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Today, I think in about some few weeks to come, we will all enter into the Passover season. And so, the church does not have a problem with this. With this one, we all agree. Mm-hmm. Is that not so?
Yeah.
So, Passover therefore speaks of the new birth experience. Jesus was our Passover lamb. Passover must not only be a time of gathering together to feast. It is also a time to check, ensure and enforce our salvation. So here we see that Passover was about salvation. Even the Israelites who went through Passover and were instructed to celebrate it would get the full import of Passover until Christ died. So today, if we should bring an Israelite who went through Passover, and we should bring you and me to stand together on the same platform, we understand Passover better than them. I hope you agree.
Yeah.
Because we have the first round, we have seen the second round fulfillment by Christ. They saw the round one. They did not see the round two.
Yeah.
Then we go to the second one. So he says three times. So what was the second time? Even before I get to the second time, for you to understand the Passover, you will come to see that Bible said three times you shall hold gather. Is that not so?
Yeah.
So it means there was a gathering. This is why when Christ was being crucified, people were passing by because there was a gathering. There was a gathering. So God plans almost everything around this feast. So when Christ was being crucified, there was a gathering. Then we go to the second one, Pentecost. The Lord has so much interest in these feast days that even the days of celebration is given out.
Yeah.
Leviticus spells the days. Leviticus 23 verse 5 says, in the 14th day of the first month, at evening is the Lord's Passover. So specific dates are given. And on the 15th day of the same month, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Passover, unto the Lord. 7 days he shall eat unleavened. Then he continues, and in verse 16, even unto the morrow, after the seventh Sabbath, shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. So here we can see that Pentecost occurs on the seventh Sunday after Resurrection Sunday. That is 50 days or 10 days after ascension. And these 50 days was also spelled in Leviticus. So we can see that the feast must offer within the day. You can say, I am in modern times, so we change it. And for time in the area, the church has also what inherited the same thing, and we also follow.
Yeah.
So we can say that God again has it all covered, right from the Old Testament to the New Testament. When God was telling them three times, you shall celebrate. If you were in the wilderness of Sinai with them, what will we see? All of us will understand the first feast, Passover. Why? We have all gone through Passover. Is that not so? Mm-hmm. But we will not understand Pentecost. Why? They had not gone through. Although Pentecost also happened in the wilderness. From Sinai, where the power of God was poured on them. But they will only understand it as what a feast day. So Pentecost is not an ordinary day. It is a day planned and arranged by God. And he is carefully executing it gradually. God uses a timetable, and we must all be careful to follow that timetable. We can't do things out of our own time. That is why we started with the scripture, 1 Corinthians. I have not seen, neither has he heard. So, when Peter, in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, when they had received the promise, Peter quoted Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. Is that not so?
Yeah.
But when you observe the scripture carefully, was the prophecy given by Joel in Joel 2, 28, 29 fully fulfilled, or it was partially fulfilled?
It was partially.
It was partial. It was fulfilled as the Lord told them. But it was partial when he picked it from Joel. Because when the Lord commanded them, he said in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, he said, but wait for the promise of the Father. Wait for the promise of the Father. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So, when you look at it from what Jesus told them, it was exact. Number one, wait for the promise of what? The Father. And number two, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days after. So, everything that Jesus said came true. But Peter had no other example to use but to compare it to what Joel saw, so that people would understand. But today, you and me, we have the opportunity to look at it well. And it is not exactly what Joel saw. That is why we can agree that it was partial fulfillment. Because what did Joel see? Joel saw sons and daughters who prophesy, young men see visions, old men dream dreams. It was not like that.
Yeah.
But now, I want us to look at some things about Passover, and then we continue. Why was Passover celebrated with unleavened bread? Whilst the Feast of Harvest or First Fruit, which is Pentecost, celebrated with leaven. In the scripture, the Passover is celebrated with unleavened bread. At the salvation stage, every sin must go out. So Christ died to save you and me from sin. Leaven implies sin. Leaven implies corruption. Leaven implies hypocrisy. Leaven also implies false doctrine. So Bible says, therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So every one of us enters into salvation with sincerity and what? Truth. That is why the blood of Jesus does what? Washes us.
Yeah.
We all agree. So that is unleavened bread. But however, the second stage, which is Pentecost, is celebrated with leaven. Why? Pentecost is celebrated with leaven. I want to read that portion. Leviticus 23, verse 17. It says, "Ye shall bring out of your habitations two wood loaves of 2 tenth gills. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baking with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. They shall be baking with leaven, but they are the first fruits unto the Lord." We know Pentecost is what? The first fruit.
Yeah.
And they shall be baked with what? Leaven. Why leaven? What do we see with Pentecost? Many of us think that Pentecost is the end. But Pentecost is not the end. Pentecost is just the first fruit. And so, when it comes to Pentecost, what do we see? We see leaven in full display. Hypocrisy at its best. Somebody speaking in tongues, but the next day he's lying. All these are the things we see in Pentecost. That tells you that Pentecost was just the beginning. There are people who have kept faith with it, but Pentecost is just the beginning. Let me give you a scenario of what we have said, or what I have just said. Passover in the Old Testament happened in Egypt. Pentecost was in the wilderness. But do you remember when they were through with the wilderness and they had to cross over Jordan?
Yeah.
What did Moses do? He sent 12 spies. When they came back, what did they say? The land is good, but we are not able to go to possess it. So the Bible says all the fighting men died in the wilderness. They said we are not able to take, except two, Joshua and Caleb. They said we are ready to take. Today, the church has settled with two. Passover, Pentecost. Passover, Pentecost. But what the scripture tell us? It said three. Three times. Is that not so?
Yeah.
Bible was clear. Three times. Let me read that portion before we enter the last round. I'm not stressing on the first two too much because we all agree. Bible said, Exodus 23, verse 14, three times thou shalt keep a feast unto the Lord, unto me in the year. Then, the 15 tells you the feast the Lord is expecting. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread, Passover, which we just discussed. And it gave us the month in the third appointed of the month Abib, for in it thou came out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. Verse 16, and the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors. So what is Pentecost? Pentecost is the feast of harvest. And Exodus 15 tells us that it is the first fruit of our labor. That is why, if you read the Welsh Revival, it says it was what? Pentecost beyond Pentecost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why do they caption it like that? Why did they say Pentecost beyond Pentecost? They said Pentecost beyond Pentecost because it was something that has not been seen and something that has not been heard, even in Acts chapter 2. I hope you understand me.
Yeah.
It was something that has not been seen or has not been heard in Acts chapter 2. So, it was called Pentecost beyond Pentecost. I was looking for where you called it. Yes, called the Pentecost beyond Pentecost. So We have it as Pentecost beyond Pentecost because it has never been seen. It has never been heard of. Because the Pentecost we read about and we look at in Acts chapter 2, this is not the same one. There was an increase. So, when scripture says in Exodus 23 verse 16, that the first fruits of thy labors, what is Pentecost? It is the first fruit. He said, of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field. And then the third part, is the feast of ingathering, which is the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. Exodus 23, verse 16. When you have gathered everything out of the field. Now, what do we see there? When Israel is celebrating this three feast, they go through the Passover, then they go through the Feast of Harvest, or the first fruits, that is Pentecost. But because Pentecost is celebrated with leaven, so they go through something they call the Feast of Atonement. So with atonement, the leaven must lead you. With atonement, you can never enter into the Feast of Tabernacles without going through what? The time of atonement.
Yeah.
You can never. It is not possible. Because the second one, which is Pentecost, was celebrated 11. And so, if you have to go through the third one, everything must come out. So when you read Numbers 29:7, when you read Numbers 29:7, I was thinking today we'll get here, but we got in there, so let's do. Numbers 29:7 says, and it shall have on the third day of this seventh month an holy convocation, and ye shall afflict your souls. Ye shall not do any work therein. Ye shall what? Afflict your souls. Why? Because it is filled with leaven. This is the reason why we are going through what we are going through. Even do you remember when you said some people will be falling out?
Yeah.
It is unfortunate. And this is where we are getting to. Where some will fall out because they are not ready a new thing the Lord is doing. They are not ready to accept the new thing the Lord must bring in. To them, this is where we have to get to. Israel got there and they told Moses they are not able. Today, the church has gotten there, and we are saying, this is where our doctrine tells us. We are not able to cross over. Meanwhile, there are a lot of people who have come in. So, as you began today, and you said, for those of us who will think and become stumbling blocks to the new thing the Lord, he must have to take us out. This is happening, and we will see it. Why did Pentecost also happen and everyone saw it? The Lord said, three times you shall gather. So when the outpouring of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit poured on the 120 people. It was a time that people have gathered. When you look at this thing that we are speaking tonight, you will see that in God's plan, everything happens when everybody is watching you.
Yeah.
God does not do things in the background. We will pray at the background, but the real action happens in the glare view of everyone. So Christ died in the glare view of everyone. The Holy Spirit also poured in the glare view of everyone, so that you cannot question. you only have to go back and look at your scripture very well. Now, we are moving to the third one. The Feast of Tabernacles. In Numbers 29, verse 12, it talks about this third one. On the 15th day of the seventh month, ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no several work, and ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. What is tabernacles? Why does the church need tabernacle? Why is it that God says three, but the church decides to keep two? The first two, we all agree. The third one, majority of our doctrine do not agree. Because when it gets to the third one, our doctrine says it must happen in heaven. Is that not so? That is what our doctrine tells us. It must happen in heaven. Let's look at Jesus himself. What he said about tabernacles. What did Jesus say about tabernacle? John chapter 7, verse 2. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. Then let's jump to 37 and 38. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of what? Living water. This is what Jesus said, though. When the Feast of Tabernacles was at hand, Jesus proclaimed with a loud voice that whoever believes on him, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. We are looking at the third stage, tabernacles. Let's look at Haggai chapter 2. Verse 1. In the seventh month, in the 120th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, what is the seventh month? The seventh month is the month where tabernacles is what celebrated. So Haggai chapter 2, verse 1 is talking about what? Tabernacles. Then verse 9 says, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former.
Yeah.
So Haggai had this prophecy in the time of what? Tabernacles. Let's also look at 1 Kings chapter 8. First Kings chapter 8, verse 2. And all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto King Solomon at the feast in the month Ethnam, which is the seventh month. Even, are you seeing the trend?
Yeah.
First Kings is talking about the seventh month. Haggai is talking about the seventh month. Jesus was talking about what? The seventh month. And what happened in 1 Kings chapter 8? In verse 16, Bible says, since the day that I brought forth my people Israel out of Egypt. I chose no city out of all the tribes of Israel to build an house, that my name might be therein. But I chose David to oversee my people. And in verse 11 of the same 1 Kings chapter 8, so that the kings, the priests, could not stand to minister because of the crowd. For the glory of the Lord has filled the house of the Lord. So now, can we understand what tabernacles mean? Tabernacle is the time when the glory of the Lord is poured. And this is where the church must enter.
Yeah.
I think my time is almost up.
Yeah, we are running out of time.
But let me just round it up here.
Yeah.
Tabernacle is a time where the glory of the Lord is poured out. This is why we are talking about the coming revival. Because when the glory is poured, everybody will be part of it.
Yeah.
But whoever stands against the glory, the Lord will remove you.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be surprised. When the glory starts, you hear big names falling out, don't be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Because the glory must fall. If it does not fall, Satan will win. And God will not allow Satan to win. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Roger. Indeed, we need to understand these fundamentals and the need and the season for the glory of God, which is to come. And the church really, really needs it desperately, because darkness is rising, and gross darkness in the people, as Isaiah 60 talks about. And the reason why the revival should go parallel with the darkness is, when darkness is rising, then the glory of God will also rise to counter it. And that's the essence of the reason why we need the revival in these times when evil is on the ascendancy. Souls will be won. And you see, where we've gotten to now, the church has gotten so much bad name in the society and in the minds of people that it's only the power of God moving. That is what can draw people to Christ. Because, now people just make mockery of the body of Christ. Mockery of pastors, of the church, and all that. But when they see manifestation of power, then they will not question it. Because now they know that, yes, this is God indeed. That is at work. And that's the essence why the revival has to come. Because true revival, when it comes, like the Welsh revival, businesses virtually, like, nightclubs, the pubs, and all virtually had to close because people were not coming. They are all saved. They are going to, revival meetings. You see, when the power is available, it will draw the people. And when they go there and they will see the manifestation, nobody will tell them that God is here. And this is where we are headed. But as I said earlier, it's a matter of choice. We can be part or we can be left out, depending on how we position ourselves and the mindset that we have based on our theology and our doctrines and whatever we hold on to so dearly. These are the times we should allow the Holy Spirit to have a free course in our services, free course in our lives, lead us in the things we do. You know, we've gotten to the point where when we do things outside the will of God, you are on your own. And we are at a point where it is getting dangerous to embark on anything without first really seeking God in prayer. Oh yeah. That's why some of us were a bit disappointed and worried about the state of things happening now, where pastors are all over the place talking and saying, and I'm yet to hear any pastor say that upon waiting on the Lord, this is what the Spirit of God is saying. that my children can go ahead and do this and this and that. All we hear is the politicians have said it, so it is good. Let's trust the science. I mean, you see, we should move beyond the physical into the spiritual. We are Christians first and foremost, before any other thing else. So if we put the spirituality aside and just dwell in the flesh, then we'll run into trouble and into problems. So we need the power of God. We need the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us in everything we do, especially in these days. Everything should be guided by the Holy Spirit. Program is Issues of Life. This is Eben, and time runs so fast when very important things are being said. God willing, next week will be coming your way. God willing, and the file will be uploaded on spiritissues.info. For those on the Telegram group, I'll upload it there as well. I'll drop it in the group. And for those who want to join, it's just Telegram. Install the Telegram app. Search for the group is at Spirit. Just look for at the email. What you write at here, at Spirit Issues. Look for at Spirit Issues or Spirit. Issues of Life. Spirit FM. Search for it. You find it, and then you can join. It's a group, but not a group that, I mean, there's chatter and to disturb people. No, it's purely just for information purposes. So I'm only the administrator, is only the one putting things there, and that's it. Nobody comments, just pick whatever, download whatever, if it's a book or the issues program or the news and all that that I put there, or the songs that I use and all that. So basically that's it. So for those who don't use Telegram, I think it's worth using, because it's far better than WhatsApp in many ways. If you join, for instance, you join today, you can still have access to the things already uploaded in the group. WhatsApp is not like that. I mean, if you join a group today, it's only things going on afterwards that you'll be having access to. But this is different. So Telegram, Spirit Issues, look for it and join. And the website, spiritissues.info. So I upload it there as well. Good night, and God bless you.
See the righteous take their stand.